This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Devastating flooding across central Kansas, central Texas. We have the story.
I'm Rodney Price. Wichita police are investigating the death of a 2-year-old boy. We'll tell you who has been arrested in the case coming up.
KNSS has breaking news. This morning, police investigating a mass shooting in Philadelphia that left at least 3 people dead, 10 injured early today. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel says children were among the injured.
Around 12:56, officers hear gunshots. They respond to the location. We have about 13 individuals who were shot, of which 3 have been pronounced.
It happened in the Grays Ferry neighborhood in South Philly. It's the latest shooting in what's been a violent July 4th weekend in Philadelphia. A mass shooting early Saturday morning at a bar in South Philly left 8 people injured. Hope may be running out for the dozens of people missing following flash flooding in central Texas. More from Fox's Marianne Rafferty.
Search and rescue crews are battling rising waters as they continue searching for victims of last week's devastating flash flooding in central Texas. With more rain falling, the sheriff's department is warning the already swollen Guadalupe River could rise another 1 to 2 feet. The flooding is blamed for at least 82 deaths across multiple counties, and that number is only expected to climb. Dozens more are missing, including at least 10 children and 1 counselor from an all-girls camp in Kerr County. That's about 90 miles north of San Antonio. The camp sits near the Guadalupe River, which rose more than 30 feet in under an hour during torrential rains overnight into Friday. Texas governor is vowing that crews will search until every victim is found.
President Donald Trump has signed a major disaster declaration for Kerr County, Texas, following the flash flood disaster. Wichita police say a 33-year-old man has been arrested for first-degree murder in the death of his 2-year-old stepson.
On Thursday, police responded to Wesley Medical Center after the boy was brought to the hospital with severe injuries after a reported fall. The investigation revealed the injuries suffered by the child were inconsistent with the facts provided by the stepfather who was caring for the boy at the time he was injured. The stepfather was arrested Thursday for aggravated battery and child abuse. The boy, identified by police as John Landon Delano, passed away Saturday morning from his injuries. The stepfather was booked into the Sedgwick County Jail on a charge of first-degree murder. Patrol officers and investigators from the Exploited Missing Children's Unit and the WPD Homicide Unit are investigating the case. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Police say a 32-year-old man is dead after a shooting in East Wichita Sunday afternoon. Officers were called to the 7000 block of East Lincoln just before 6 p.m., the report of a shooting, and police found a man lying on the ground with a gunshot wound. He was taken to a local hospital in critical condition, later pronounced dead. No word from police on possible suspects in this case. A suspect has been arrested in a Wichita homicide.
Wichita police responded early Friday to a report of an assault in the 3000 block of North Fairview near 29th and Broadway. A caller reported seeing a man attacking another man. That suspect fled the scene before officers arrived. They found the victim, identified as 43-year-old Cesar Gonzalez of Wichita, unresponsive in a parking lot. Officers located the suspect, a Wichita man, in the 300 block of West 29th Street North and took him into custody without incident. The suspect was booked into the Sedgwick County Jail on charges of first-degree murder. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
38 people were treated at Wichita area hospitals for fireworks-related injuries during the 4th of July holiday. At the 5 Wesley Healthcare campuses in the metro, 22 patients were treated for various injuries, including burns and lacerations. That total is less than the 28 patients seen at Wesley last year. Most patients were treated and discharged and then sent home, while one required a surgery consultation. Ascension Via Christi reported 16 injuries during the same period. KNSS News time now, 7:05, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Got some Royals who've got some honors coming to them. We'll tell you that and how they did on Sunday, all coming up in sports.
Israel's prime minister returns to Washington today. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNS has news time now, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. Israel's prime minister returns to Washington as the Trump administration tries to clinch a ceasefire in Gaza.
For the first time since U.S. airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities and an end to a two-week war between Israel and Iran, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will meet face-to-face with President Trump. The Israeli leader is expected at the White House today. President Trump and U.S. negotiators are hopeful they can secure a 60-day ceasefire in Gaza, a deal that officials say would require Hamas to release at least 10 living hostages and the bodies of 18 dead hostages. It's believed 20 hostages in Gaza are still alive. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
There's been a new attack on shipping in the Red Sea.
A group of armed men in small boats firing guns and launching rocket-propelled grenades at a maritime vessel in the Red Sea off the coast of Yemen on Sunday. The crew reported the vessel was taking on water and they were preparing to abandon ship. So far, there's been no claim of responsibility, but suspicion would point heavily to the Houthi rebels, who in solidarity with Hamas have targeted more than 100 merchant vessels in the last 2 years, sinking two of them and killing four sailors, also greatly reducing the flow of trade through the Red Sea corridor, which typically sees $1 trillion of goods move through it every year. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
An Australian woman's been found guilty of murdering three relatives by serving them a meal laced with poisonous mushrooms.
Erin Patterson's mother-in-law and father-in-law and her mother-in-law's sister died within days of consuming beef wellingtons containing death cap mushrooms. A fourth diner recovered after weeks in a coma. Prosecutors say the 50-year-old knowingly used the toxic fungi in her recipe, then lied to police and disposed of the evidence. But they admit Patterson had no obvious motive. She argued it was an accident and lied out of panic, insisting she loved her in-laws and had no reason to kill them. Patterson will have 28 days to appeal against her conviction. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Right now in the Wichita area, things are looking good, but down in Derby, we've got Madison and Rock Road. We've got a traffic accident there. And wow, you'll want to avoid that area entirely.
Major intersection.
Yeah. Madison and Rock in Derby. Avoid it. Things are really starting to back up there. We also have a lane closed because of a stalled out vehicle. This is just coming in now. Northbound I-135, and it's between Lincoln and Harry. They've actually closed the left lane there due to a stalled out vehicle. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS and the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Well, good morning to you, Steve. I hope you enjoyed your 4th of July holiday.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Everybody did, I think.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, we couldn't really complain too much about the weather, given the fact that we had temperatures and we've been getting some timely rainfall. Yesterday, thunderstorms were kind of interesting because we saw a big pocket develop on the northeast part of the county, and then it just kind of drifted back toward the south and west. And if you were in the right place at the right time, maybe you're pretty excited about the rainfall that you got, because in July, we know that is what's going to keep our grass green for sure. But then the official amount of rainfall for Wichita was only 0.01. So we clearly know who wasn't in the right place at the right time, and that was out at the airport, where certainly didn't get very much rain at all. Officially, for McConnell and Joubert Airport on the east side, it was about 0.02 inches. I know there are some locations that maybe got a bit more than that, like up toward Park City and Valley Center. There are reports of more than an inch. Well, our chances for isolated thunderstorms will continue today, but I think they're going to be even fewer and farther between than they were yesterday. So don't count too much on seeing storms today. And not a lot of change in the temperature. Still looking at a high of 91. We'll cool down to 71 overnight. The chance of pop-up thunderstorms is a bit better tomorrow, so more likely that we would see something on Tuesday with a high in the low 90s. But then Wednesday and Thursday will be a couple of days this week where there'll be no thunderstorms at all, and highs will remain in the low 90s. We have kind of been stuck here in neutral when it comes to the temperatures, basically seasonal for this time of the year, and highs in the low 90s is what you might expect, and that's what we're going to have over the next several days. Right now in Wichita, we've got sunshine here on a Monday morning at 67 degrees. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
Ross, the what you were mentioning was exactly my experience on rainfall amounts. And I'm in Riverside, and that shower came through, lasted, I don't know, 20 minutes, really came down.
Yeah.
And I measured in my rain gauge 0.8 inches.
So okay.
That's quite a, and then a week ago Sunday, I got about 1 inch up there. So it's spotty. It really is.
Yeah, it definitely is. But boy, if you get rain like that in July, you got to be excited because, you know, this is the time of year that most of our grass starts to go from, you know, lush green to a brown crispy.
Right, right.
Basically sounding like walking on dry cereal.
But what's happened down in Central Texas? I guess, of course, rainfall amounts are awful hard to predict, but that seems like they didn't really have any warning on this thing.
You know, I've only just briefly kind of looked at the radar presentation, yeah. And it looked to me like it was a case of a storm system, basically a cluster of storms that stalled over one area.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when they do that, they can create their own environment. And to me, that's what it looks like happened through that narrow area there in Texas, where it just kept raining and raining and raining. And sometimes that will happen. You know, we saw that back in early June with that heavy rain that hit on the east side of Wichita. Sometimes you're just stuck in this pattern where it just continues to develop storms. And based on my assessment, which is, you know, not very detailed so far, it looks like maybe that's what happened. And if you're not prepared, boy, water can move very, very quickly. And unfortunately, that's just a terrible situation.
But you're talking about the Guadalupe River going up like 30 feet in an hour. It's amazing. Amazing.
Wow. Yeah, it's hard to imagine that volume
of water.
It's
one of those once-in-a-lifetime weather, it looks like, experiences. All right. Thank you, sir. We will check with you again tomorrow morning. Of course, that is meteorologist Ross Jansen with us this morning. 92 degrees for a high yesterday in Wichita. And this is July 7th, and it was on this date, 44 years ago, 1981, the first female appointed to the Supreme Court when President Ronald Reagan nominated Sandra Day O'Connor. Now, she retired on January 31st of 2006 after more than 24 years on the bench. I read a biography on her just a while back, and an amazing person, just quite a person. She and her husband, John, were really well known around Washington, D.C., because they liked to dance. They would go out and they'd dance at night. They disco-type dancing and, ballroom dancing. Apparently, they were very, very good. And that's what Sandra Day O'Connor liked. She was a ranch person from out in Arizona. Birthdays today. How about Ringo Starr? 85 years old. Of course, the drummer for the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
Ringo, turning 85 years old today.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Ringo.
Birthday, Ringo. Yep. 7:16 now, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Ted Woodward taking the morning off. Jad Chambers on the sports desk this morning. Jad, take it away.
Well, we had some good news for fans of Wichita Wind Surge. They got a heck of a game. No shortage of action at Equity Bank Park as the Wichita Wind Surge completed the biggest comeback in the history of the franchise. They won at 15-13 over the Tulsa Drillers. Things were looking bad real early. They gave up 7 in the top of the first inning, but the bottom half of the inning, Wichita managed to close the gap to 2 by putting up 5 runs. Tulsa pushed it back to 3 with a run in the second, but in the bottom half, Ricardo Olivar crushed a game-tying 3-run home run. Surge took the lead in the third with their next run, but Tulsa got the next 4 runs in the 5th and 6th. But then the Surge got the lead back. Once again, it was Ricardo Olivar doubling with the bases loaded. And that gave the Wind Surge the lead. And eventually, the Wind Surge came up with a 15-13 win. Olivar ties the franchise individual RBI record 7 in a single game. The Surge remain home this week, beginning a series against San Antonio Tuesday night at Equity Bank Park. The Kansas City Royals wrapped up a 7-game road trip last night in Arizona. And it was some fourth inning heroics that kind of put the Royals over. Bobby Witt Jr. started it with a solo home run. And then later in the evening, Salvador Perez comes up to bat with no one on.
There's a blast. Deep left center and that ball's gone. Salvador Perez unloads on Anthony DeSclafani and doubles the Royals lead. It's 2-0.
Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, both solo home runs in the fourth, and then, of course, they got some insurance runs in the fifth. Didn't really need them. Royals starting pitcher Michael Lorenzen striking out seven in seven dominant innings. They shut out the Arizona Diamondbacks 4-0. It was an interesting road trip for the Royals. Seven games. They went 4-3, so they did do all right. Royals back in Kauffman Stadium tonight, hosting the Pittsburgh Pirates. Tune in to KFH at 6:30 for Royals baseball. Speaking of the Royals, once again, Bobby Witt Jr. going back to the All-Star game. Second straight All-Star game. The 25-year-old has a Major League most 30 doubles. He's tied for second in the American League with 24 stolen bases, ranked third with 104 hits and 44 extra base hits. He's only the fourth major leaguer in history to have 30 doubles, 20 stolen bases, and 10 home runs before the All-Star break. Joining him on the All-Star team from the Royals is starting pitcher Chris Bubich, the American League Pitcher of the Month back in May. Bubich is in his first full season since returning from Tommy John surgery, which he underwent in 2023. Some honors for some Kansas City Royals there. Something good, New Orleans Pelicans on Saturday announcing the signing of former Kansas center Hunter Dickinson to a two-way contract. Two-way contract allows teams to sign players who can split time between the NBA and its G League affiliate. Pelicans G League team is in Birmingham, Alabama. Dickinson will play for the Pelicans in Summer League in Las Vegas. And the Washington Nationals with a major shakeup just before Major League Baseball's All-Star break. Fox's Greg Thompson has details.
Shortly after losing to the Boston Red Sox on Sunday, the Washington Nationals announcing that both manager Dave Martinez and general manager Mike Rizzo had been fired. While that pair helped lead Washington to the 2019 World Series title, the team hasn't had a single winning season since and has finished in last place in the division 4 of the 5 years, not including this season when they're also currently in last place. In a statement, owner Mark Lerner said, quote, "A fresh approach and new energy is the best course of action for our team moving forward." Mike DiBartolo has been named interim general manager, while the interim manager will be announced on Monday. Greg Thompson, Fox News.
Yeah, shake up there in the major leagues. Sports on Steve and Ted in the Morning is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. They got locations east, west, and in historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck there. Wichita Brewing Company. It's pizza and beer made here.
I had lunch with some of my friends there this last week.
Excellent.
Had a terrific sandwich. How about that? 7:21 now. Keep it here for a house call for health. How to protect yourself from dangerous ultraviolet light. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh. 67 degrees here at 7:30 on a Monday morning. As search and rescue teams continue their work in Central Texas, there's a warning of possible new dangers ahead.
Crews are hoping to find survivors in Central Texas, but Freeman Martin, the director of the state's Department of Public Safety, told reporters,
"This is tough work. It's hot. They're in the mud. They're removing debris. There's snakes. There's water moccasins. This is God's work that they're doing."
Well, Governor Greg Abbott warned,
"There is heavy rainfall that's already occurred, and there's more heavy rainfall that's expected that will lead to potential flash flooding."
Creeks and streams have been carrying walls of water making their way to the Guadalupe River, and all that runoff in the river is headed south, where, in the days ahead, it's expected to produce more flooding for other small towns. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Family and friends, along with numerous Kansas law enforcement agencies, filled the Huck Boyd Community Center in Phillipsburg for the funeral of Phillips County Sheriff's Deputy Brandon Gady over the weekend. Gady was shot and killed while on duty June 27th. A GoFundMe has been set up for Gady's wife and three children. Israel has attacked Houthis in Yemen for the first time in almost a month.
The Israeli airstrikes hit three ports and a power plant, a military spokesman saying the action was a response to repeated Houthi attacks on Israel and was aimed at interrupting the flow of weapons from Iran. The Houthis are a rebel group which controls much of Yemen. In recent months, they fired missiles at both Israel itself and ships passing through the Red Sea. Yesterday, the crew of a Liberian-flagged ship was forced to abandon their vessel after it caught fire and started taking on water. A security firm said the ship was targeted by bomb-carrying drone boats and rocket-propelled grenades. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Democratic lawmakers are raising concerns about unsafe conditions at the Florida Everglades migrant prison nicknamed Alligator Alcatraz. Fox's Dana Marie McNichol in Miami with more.
Lawmakers went around Thursday after that first group of migrants arrived at Alligator Alcatraz demanding access, but they were denied entry. Director Guthrie says lawmakers were denied entry because they didn't know they were coming that day and are now looking to schedule a tour for members of both sides of the aisle. He says claims that the detention facility will impact the environment are also false. We're getting our first look at migrants being transported to Alligator Alcatraz. Florida's Attorney General posted on X that local sheriff's office are coordinating to move people to that facility.
The facility has a capacity of 3,000. FEMA will reimburse most of the $450 million cost to operate the prison each year. One of the questions on the minds of many Americans is whether Social Security will be around to help future generations. Kansas 4th District Congressman Ron Estes, who was recently appointed as the new chairman of the Subcommittee on Social Security, talks about what he's focusing on.
Our initial focus right now is how do we make sure that the right people get the right check at the right time. I mean, that's a key thing that we want to make sure happens. And as we focus a little bit more on the rest of the year of how do we continue to make sure we have good performance metrics and delivering a service that Americans deserve, we also have to start having that very honest, serious conversation about how do we make sure that we have enough money in the long term for current retirees, people that are about to retire, and people that are just starting their career. We want to make sure that the program is protected and around for years and years to come.
Ron Estes was a guest Sunday evening on the John Whitmer Show on KNSS. Now we'll get the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. A high of 91 could feel like 100 degrees. We'll see isolated storms this afternoon. Partly cloudy this evening, then another chance of storms after midnight. Overnight low 71. Partly cloudy on Tuesday, high 92. A chance of storms in the afternoon. Sunshine and low 90s on Wednesday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
No, mostly cloudy. Calm wind, 67 degrees. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:34 here on a Monday morning with Steve and Ted, and this time for Mondays with the Mayor, Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. Good morning, Mayor Wu.
Good morning, Steve. How was your weekend?
Oh, mine was fantastic. Almost everybody I know is saying, hey, we had a great 4th this year. The weather was pretty good. Wasn't unbearably hot. Not much rain, so it went pretty well. How about you?
It was fantastic. I really enjoyed Independence Day weekend. Had the opportunity to go out to Veterans Memorial Park, and I really encourage our community to head out to Veterans Memorial Park any time of the year. It is across the river from Exploration Place, right on the river, and it's such a beautiful and peaceful place, and especially during holidays that we commemorate and remember veterans and remember those who are serving. So had the opportunity to start Independence Day there. And then just had some family time. And then after that, what I love is that on the weekends, there's always something to do here in Wichita. And I had the opportunity to go to Old Cowtown Museum, where they celebrate America every single year. They recite the Declaration of Independence. They have the saloon girls performing. There's a gunfight. And I don't know if you remember this, but this is the 75th anniversary of Cowtown. And so we need to go out and support things that really make Wichita unique. And I appreciate that the volunteers, the interpreters, and the entire staff there really put on a great Celebrate America event every year.
Cowtown, over the years, and I've watched it, been there. I was there when I was 5 years old when the places had just opened. There wasn't a whole lot there, frankly. But they have done a terrific job with that over the years in preserving the buildings and so forth. And the whole genre of the Old West and the Cowtown Museum. It's a museum where so many fun things are going on all the time.
Yeah, it's a live museum. And what I said was the interpreters, these are all individuals who dress in the attire from that time period. Then they tell you their story. And it's so neat to be able to not only hear their stories, but be in a building that throws you back to that time. And it reminds you also how grateful we should be nowadays with the space we have, the environment that we have. And so I just really appreciate having Old Cowtown. And if you didn't know, a lot of people from all around the country as well as the world come to Old Cowtown to visit it because it is so unique. And having that as original buildings from back in the 1800s is such a treasure, and we need to continue keeping that treasure for other generations to enjoy.
We're just, as you know, putting together the news from the weekend and finding out that we had about 38 people reported injuries. Nobody was killed here in Wichita over the weekend, and it doesn't look like any really, really serious injuries from fireworks and so forth. So really, not too bad. Do you see anything that we need to change as far as the ordinance is concerned and enforcing the ordinance?
Well, we'll definitely be doing a debrief regarding this 4th of July weekend, and that's headed by the Wichita Fire Department. And so we'll be listening to those data points in the coming weeks. But I have heard from individuals. I know that I'm a pet owner myself, and my poor puppy was definitely scared the entire time. But I also understand that lawmakers at the State House allowed for more freedom to buy these fireworks, not just now, but throughout the year. And so we need to have municipal codes that really speak to the citizens of Wichita. And so if you want to engage in that conversation, I really encourage you to contact your council member. So the city of Wichita is divided into 6 districts, and each of those council members want to hear from you. All you have to do is go to wichita.gov/citycouncil, and you can find their email addresses.
I go back to a specific firework that's now banned, but for years was one of the most exciting and fun fireworks. It's called the bottle rocket. And that thing, I think, probably caused more roof fires than any firework ever made. That thing would go, and it would cause some real problems till they outlawed it.
Yeah, you always have to practice good caution and safety. And that's why the city of Wichita partners with the Park Foundation and others to put on the big display of fireworks downtown. And so the Red, White, and Boom event happens every year during the 4th of July in the evening. And this year, those fireworks were overlooking, they were shot off the Garvey Center. And so you could have the best view from across the river or across the street at Century 2. So what a wonderful opportunity if you don't want to go fire your own fireworks.
All right. City council meeting tomorrow. And if so, what are you going to do? What's the biggest item of business there tomorrow?
There are multiple items on the list, including a couple of properties. One of them is a new apartment complex for workforce housing in the College Hill area. So we'll be discussing that. We'll also talk about some lease agreements in the Old Town area. We'll get a financial report from our director of finance. We'll also hear about an industrial project. And so there are multiple things on the agenda, but I think the one that a lot of folks will be interested in is Delano open consumption. So the cities of Topeka, Manhattan, and Shawnee already have a common consumption law, and that allows for open consumption in certain areas in that city. So Delano, which is just on the left side of the river, especially it will focus around Councilmember Dalton Glasscock and Councilmember Maggie Ballard's districts. They will be interested in hearing from you about that open consumption consideration. And so, again, that would allow for people to openly carry their beverages from these establishments. And so we want to hear from you, and especially the districts that it involves, which is District 4 and District 6, Councilmember Glasscock and Councilmember Ballard.
All right. Open consumption. I know you've followed the news and what's going on in Central Texas. Oh, there's incredible amounts of rain, just a huge, rapid rising of the river, so many lives lost. Wow, that's tough.
It is truly devastating. Yesterday, our pastor at New Spring talked about that and really reminded us of our focus having to be on, caring for one another. He gave a story about a father that saved his family, but unfortunately passed away trying to save his family, and what true love truly is, and that sacrifice. And so my heart goes out to all those who are hurting right now in Texas and any family members that have been affected. We really need to remind ourselves of how precious life really is.
When is the date for put the big stamp on the budget? Is August, sometime in August, right?
Correct. So for the July 15th meeting, which is the following Tuesday, the council will receive the proposed budget from the city staff and the city manager. And so after that, there will be opportunities for the community to speak their mind regarding the proposed budget, and then it will eventually be adopted next month in August, later in the month. But again, there's lots of opportunities for you to engage. And one of the best ways to engage is to engage your council member. So again, wichita.gov/city council.
All right. Thank you. Have a good week. And we'll talk to you again next week here, Mondays with the Mayor, with Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. 7:42 now, Steve and 10 in the morning. And coming up, we've got, we've got the Wichita Business Journal update on the way. And we're going to be talking about Spirit and Boeing have redesigned the door plug. That's coming up with Steve and Ted on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 7:47 here on this Monday morning, and 67 degrees. Three big things. Police investigating two deadly shootings in Wichita. 38 people treated at Wichita hospitals for fireworks-related injuries over the 4th.
One.
At least 80 dead and many missing after devastating floods hit Central Texas. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Still here in Wichita have some heavy traffic volumes here and there. Watch out southbound on I-135. Right up there in the road construction at the North Junction. Also continue to watch out after a traffic accident at Rock and Madison in Derby. Traffic update 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
20% chance for morning rain, then mostly sunny today with a high of 90 degrees. 30% chance for rain tonight, the overnight low 70. And then on Tuesday, a 30% chance for rain again. Tomorrow's high, 91 degrees. Now mostly cloudy, calm, and 67 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, artificial intelligence could soon help you lower the temperature.
Fox on 10.
AI might be able to keep you cool. A team of researchers in the U.S., China, Sweden, and Singapore say they've been using artificial intelligence to develop new formulas for paints and coatings that can reflect and deflect summer heat. The scientists, including some working at the University of Texas in Austin, found that when applying this AI-created paint to the roof of an apartment building, it saved nearly 16,000 kilowatt-hours of electricity. In climates with hot summers, such as Bangkok, and the more often this type of paint is used in adjacent city blocks, it could save enough electricity to power 10,000 AC units. What's further astounding is that while the scientists say that it would have taken them a month to devise the paint's formula, the AI it was using cooked it up in just a few days, demonstrating how machine learning can speed up innovation to more quickly benefit people. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
A 4th of July rally on Wall Street Thursday.
Stocks ending higher following a strong June jobs report, with both the NASDAQ and S&P 500 hitting all-time record closes. U.S. stock trading ending at 1 p.m. Eastern time ahead of the Independence Day holiday. The June jobs report is lowering expectations that the Fed will reduce rates anytime soon, but at the same time reaffirm the resilience of the U.S. economy. Employers adding 147,000 jobs during the month, exceeding the 110,000 that economists had expected. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase and Microsoft, the Dow decliners 3M, Merck, and Procter & Gamble. The Dow rising 344 points, the NASDAQ higher by 208, S&P 500 up 52. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:50. Steve and Ted, time for the Wichita Business Journal update. And Kirk Semenoff taking a day off today. So here it is. Spirit AeroSystems and Boeing have completed the redesign of a door plug with safety features intended to prevent another blowout like the one that occurred on a 737 MAX last year and sent both companies reeling. The new design is awaiting approval from the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, the FAA certification process is being expedited in order to be ready for installation on new airplanes next year. National Transportation Safety Board Chair Jennifer Homendy said last week. A Boeing spokesperson said the 2026 timeline is an estimate based because the redesign requires approval from the FAA. Seven former NBC Oklahoma Bank locations opened as Equity Bank last Thursday. Equity Bank Shares, Inc., the holding company for Equity Bank, has completed its $87 million acquisition of NBC Corporation of Oklahoma. The deal bumps the Wichita-headquartered bank's presence in Oklahoma up to 15 locations. Equity's merger with the Oklahoma City-based bank accounts for its 13th M&A since going public a decade ago. Equity now operates a total of 82 locations from Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. And Wichita Westsiders will soon see construction underway on Mocha's Coffee and Eatery's third Wichita location. Jason Ingermanson, president and CEO of JRI Hospitality, the Salina company behind the coffee brand, confirmed that a $1.5 million commercial plan review is for a new shop near the northwest corner of 37th Street and Ridge Road out west, and construction should begin within 60 days. The work will take around 6 months to complete, and an official opening of the shop is planned for spring. And that's Wichita Business News from the Wichita Business Journal this morning. Steve and Ted, and today is Monday, July 7th, 2025. A couple of things. First of all, I'd like to mention this one thing. It's personal, but it's also professional. This morning, Ted is gone, so I had to fill in, and I was privileged to fill in for Ted to do the newscast this morning on KEYN, our sister station down the hall. And I'd just like to point out that the last time I did a newscast or a news update on KEYN radio was in December of 1980.
Wow, it's been a while.
The first 10 years of my employment in radio, I worked at KEYN. And that was 45 years ago, the last time I got to be on KEYN. So kind of going back a ways to bring that one around. Okay. Today is National Deck Day, highlighting the importance of decks as outdoor gathering and leisure spaces. I like this. The deck is an area for families to spend quality time together or for you to host parties. And don't let this day pass without doing a little something to show your appreciation. I have to say that I do not have a deck. Shelley and I have a patio in behind our home, which is paved. It's a very nice place, but both my son and my daughter in their homes have decks, and they're very. I was on both of them this weekend, enjoying time with my kids and my grandkids, and with Scott down in Derby yesterday or the day before yesterday, I guess. But we had a cigar, a little something to drink. It was very nice, kind of warm out there. And then it was on the 4th that I was on Stacy, my daughter's deck, and we were having an evening there. And she's out west. And not many trees right around her house, so we could see for miles and see all the fireworks that were going on miles and miles around out on the west side, around Central and 135th Street West. A huge display. It was really, really something. So
cool.
Anyway, there you go. The fourth got, we got through it. We're okay. My wife had a problem because in our neighborhood, the 4th of July, we had one neighbor who decided he was just going to keep blowing off the loud fireworks clear until 2 o'clock in the morning. They're supposed to stop at 11, are they not, Jad? Is that the ordinance? Do you know?
Yeah, I'd have to look into it.
I think they got to stop at 11, but I don't think it's very strictly enforced. At any rate, she didn't get much sleep. She got caught up on her sleep yesterday. I, myself, I can roll over and go to sleep in any situation, so I didn't care. But anyway, it looks like overall we had a pretty safe and sane fourth around here, except for, you know,
occasional injuries.
Yeah, some people just can't get into it.
And yep.
It's tough. And the dogs in the past.
Oh, yeah.
As Mayor Wu was talking about just a few minutes ago. All right, coming up here, the 8 o'clock State with Steve and Ted this morning. We have the latest on devastating flooding in Central Texas.
That's right.
Plus, we'll tell you about two homicides in Wichita. And Jed has sports this morning, right, Jed?
That's right. And in sports, we'll tell you all about how the Wind Surge and the Royals did this past weekend.
Plus, entertainment news, The Blur is coming up.
I'm working on The Blur right now and some good stuff with the box office. And we'll talk about a cartoon mouse making a comeback.
Ah.
Not the one you're thinking of, though. We'll tell you about it coming up in The Blur.
And we have back-to-work traffic and weather for you in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.